Hi, this is Eric Castro with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I tell you what, I'm so excited about this video podcast today because I really believe that God has a word for us, an impartation. We're going to be looking at the peace of God, a tangible force in the realm of the Spirit. And you know, when we think about peace, sometimes we think that peace is the absence of war or strife, confusion. But the peace of God is a tangible presence. That tangible presence can come into a battle and cause a war to cease. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord causes wars to cease from the ends of the earth. Well, how does he do it? His peace. You know, peace is the greatest weapon that we've ever seen. It's a weapon that ends wars, and it's a weapon that keeps wars from happening. And so we're going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to look at, I think we're going to have to spend a little bit of time, maybe a couple of these video podcasts, looking at peace, because I believe it is so key for the days that we live in, that we as the children of God understand peace. Now, let me just say this. The Bible says in Romans 8 that creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And Jesus actually said that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So in this manifestation of sons, now, when we receive Christ Jesus, he places into us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of sonship. And the Holy Spirit, now watch this, the Holy Spirit, his work on the inside of us, he is confirming and he's working in us, building us up, teaching us what it means to be sons and daughters of the living God. And in that, there is no fear. But with that position of sonship, we are called to be peacemakers. And if we're called to be peacemakers, we must have peace that we have access to that can come into situations in order to change them from strife, war, confusion, into peace. I remember several years ago, and then we're going to get into the Word, I was in Nice, France. And I had really sensed that the season of France was opening up and that I had to get the cross and begin to walk in French cities and plant the seed of the Word of God. And so I kind of had a prayer trip down in on the south of France. And so a pastor was with me and a local, he's from Italy, pastor from Italy had joined me. And we were walking through the town, just kind of praying and just looking it over. And all of a sudden, we saw two ladies, arguing. One lady had just put her little baby into the car, and another lady was in a car at a stoplight. For whatever reason, they were yelling at each other and cursing in France. I don't speak French, so, but I can only imagine what words were being said. And I said to the pastor friend, I said, I think there's going to be a fight. Well, we're watching, and all of a sudden, the lady in the car gets out of the car, and now she's getting closer in this verbal altercation, but not any violence, no physical, you know, fighting had taken place. Well, all of a sudden, the lady who stepped out of the car, her husband, he gets out and joins her, and his presence creates a boldness in her. And she goes up to the lady, bounces her with her stomach. It was quite interesting to watch. And then grabs her hair and pulls her down. Now, the lady whose hair is being pulled and being pulled down, her child in the car seat, locked in, is watching her mom get beat up. And the child's crying. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, when that man got involved and emboldened his wife, I said, that's just wrong. All of a sudden, power came down. And I found myself, before I knew what I was doing, I was walking right in. Now, there was a crowd forming. They're watching this. Nobody's doing anything. And I walk right up there. And this lady is holding the other French lady by the hair and holding her down like this. And I reached and grabbed the lady by the head and picked her up. And when she knew somebody's got my head and I am now starting to leave the ground, she let go of the lady. And all of a sudden, I let her go and her husband came at me. He raised his hand. I caught his hand and I put my finger into his face and I said, "Peace." And he slumped and they slumped and they went back to their car, got in their car and sped away. And now the crowd is watching this. They weren't ready for this. They were going to watch a fight. They weren't ready for a peacemaker to come in and stop it. And so the Bible says one aspect of being the children of God is that we carry the peace of God. We're able to walk into a situation and bring that peace through authority and change the situation. Oh, so let's look at peace. I'm telling you what, I'm about ready to dance right here in my studio. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, and let's look at that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, that he, Jesus, is our peace. Who's our peace? Jesus. And when you think, well, Jesus is my peace, then you have to think, what kind of limitations are on Jesus? Well, none. He's limitless. In fact, Solomon said that when he was going to dedicate the temple that he was building, he had a revelation. He said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less the temple that I'm building. So what kind of limits are on Jesus? Oh, there's none. There is nothing that can limit him. Okay? He overflows creation. The trouble right now in your life is not greater than Jesus. And because it's not greater than Jesus, there is the limitless peace that's made available to you, to me, in order to face our struggles, our situations. Maybe there's something in your thoughts that's haunting you. Maybe it's something like a shadow that things are going good, and all of a sudden that shadow bubbles up and you're not at peace. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's quite the opposite. Jesus is our peace, and there is no limit to him, and there's no limit to the peace of God. There's nothing in your life or in my life that's greater than that peace. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you got to get this, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Now, I love this because when you read it in the Greek, it simply says, out of God as the source, you and I are children. So where did we come from? We came from the depth of God into this position of sonship. It wasn't just something that somebody gave us a little piece of paper and we mailed away for it and we got it in the mail 2 weeks later. Oh, I'm a son of God. No. It was a spiritual transmission of the Holy Spirit right from God himself into our spirits, out of God as the source. We are children and have overcome them because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Whew, oh my goodness. And he is our peace. Now let's look at John chapter 14. You're going to love this. John chapter 14. John 14. This scripture is one of my favorite. I don't think you're ready for this. Verse 27. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And I tell you, these words you can go to sleep with. I mean, you could just grab hold of them and just say, you know what? The cares of this day, I don't care. I'm going to go to sleep on this. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So right there, Jesus begins to release authority. He says, "I'm empowering you. Don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Because the peace that I'm giving you is my peace." Now, if you ever come to Jesus and you say, "Oh, Jesus, I need you to give me peace." You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I already gave it to you. Yeah, but, Lord, just give me some more peace. Now, he's not, no. You got it wrong. It's not like you use some peace and wore it out and now you need some new peace. Peace is a tangible presence of God because of who he is in our lives. You don't need new peace. Peace is residing in you. And that's why we're doing this. I want you to get out of this. Peace is somewhere up there and I hope it can come down here. Peace is abiding in you. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that we have to develop. But once we begin to develop it and it becomes a stronghold in our lives. Now think about that. It becomes a stronghold. This isn't going to be just one sermon that you listen to and say, "Well, I kind of felt good." This is something that we begin to take and we begin to change thinking and thoughts and reasonings, and we bring the peace of God and we make peace the stronghold. And now watch this. He says, "Let not your heart," he says, you're in control, not the devil, not the situations. You are in control. "I've given you my peace. It's not as the world gives," meaning I didn't give it today and I'm going to take it back tomorrow. No, you have peace. He's given it to you. Now you need to begin to stir that peace up. Now, let's look at one more scripture. You're going to love this because whose peace is it? It's his peace. Well, let's look at his peace. Mark 4. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version. And verse 35. "The same day when it was evening, Jesus says to them, 'Let us pass over to the other side.'" Now, he knew exactly what he was saying. When he said, "Let us pass over," he was saying, we're going to start here and we're going to end up there. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. He doesn't just speak empty things. He has purpose. And the Bible says, "Let us." And the word "us" means, when Jesus is speaking, "I'm going to be involved with you." Oh, isn't that great? "I'm going to be involved with you. Let us pass over." I like it because I think about when I got saved, when I was little, till heaven, that "let us pass over." Pass over. What? From this place of salvation to the throne of God? Let us. I'm going to be with you in this thing. I'm going to be right there with you in it. And we're going to pass over to the throne of God. And during it, you may live 80, 90, 100 years. But he says, "I'm going to be right there with you." Now, the Bible says that in verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." Oh my goodness, can you imagine this? Here they launch out. They're going to the other side. And all of a sudden, a wind comes down upon them. It wasn't the waves first. It was the wind. That wind began to affect the natural realm, the waves. The Bible says that the boat was filling up. So you have powerful wind, you have waves, and now the waves and the water are filling the boat. Jesus was in the back part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. He says to them, they said to him, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Oh my goodness. Aren't we like that? I can tell you story after story in my own life. And but here they are. Jesus is asleep. And they're looking at the wind. They're looking at the waves. They're looking at the effects. Let me tell you something. They were looking at the water filling the boat. They knew that at some point, this boat is going to go down. Not so much because of the wind, not so much because of the waves, but because the water is now filling the boat. They weren't dumb. They weren't new to boating on that sea. And they're staring at it. And while they're staring at it, it is speaking to them. What is it speaking? I'm going to tell you what it's speaking. Exactly what they say. "Master, do you not care that we're going to die?" That's what they were listening to. That is what they were hearing. And so they woke up Jesus. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you don't have any faith?" They feared exceeding and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Oh my goodness, so much here. Jesus gets up. Don't you love it? I mean, when I think about that, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 68 and 1, I believe it says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." Don't you love, maybe we ought to be singing that every morning and every night, that when we're going throughout the day, yeah, there's stuff out there, there's problems, there's people, and there's demons, but let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. And as we picture that Ephesians chapter 3, it says what? That you would strengthen me with might by your spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. And as I'm praying that, I'm singing, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered," because he said, "I'm with you in this." He is. He's never deserted us. You know, Isaiah 85 and verse 8, it says this, "He shall speak peace." You know, peace is something that we are to be speaking. In this, we get a wonderful story, wonderful example. Jesus begins to speak to the wind. He takes authority over it. Let me tell you, that water was calm until the wind got involved. And what is wind? It's invisible. You can't see wind. You only see what the wind affects, right? He's teaching us, take authority over the invisible realm. And then begin to release your peace upon the natural realm. And take authority. And you know, wouldn't you love to have been in the boat? Here, God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Jesus stands up. He rebukes the unseen. He releases his peace. He speaks peace. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, there was a great calm. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I mean, have you ever been in that great peace of God? I mean, Isaiah talks about peace like a river. Can you imagine? Jesus took authority. He cleared the thing out. And all of a sudden, there is like a river of the peace of God just flowing. Oh, the abundance of his peace. Now, was their peace a peace that was absent from a storm? No. They were in a storm. But they used their authority, or Jesus did, and then he began to release the peace of God. Ooh, powerful. You know where we fail often? Is that before the storm really takes hold, we're not confronting it and we're not speaking peace. Have you ever had a situation where maybe someone you know, someone at church, you feel something's wrong? You feel agitated and you don't know why, because you're not at war with them. You're not at odds with them, but you feel a war coming against you. What do you do? I'm going to tell you what you do. You do what Jesus did. You get into your prayer time and you begin to speak to the unseen realm, not to the person. No, we're not taking authority over people. We're separating demonic spirits of strife and envy, and envy creates a lot of strife. Where there's an envy, you'll see strife begin to agitate up. So what do? You separate the person from the operation. You begin to take authority over it, and then you begin to speak peace in the love of God. That's what Jesus did. Think about his disciples. They weren't perfect. They were often at odds with each other. And was he in there rebuking and cursing and spitting? No. He was in full control of the situation because he was praying for them. And he was releasing the peace of God upon these very strong personalities. And they had to be strong. They changed the world. I want you to think about peace. I want you to think about things in your life that are agitated, that aren't in order. As Paul prayed for the church, he said, our God is a God of order. There's no confusion in him. He is the God of peace, and he rules over the church. If you're a pastor and you're watching this, listen to me. The greatest role, I believe, of a shepherd is actually peace, to ensure the peace of the flock. Well, you have to have a rod and a staff in order to do so, but the end result is peace. Maybe you attend a church and you are a minister, or you see a gift in your life. Well, let me tell you something. What's more important than everybody's individual ministries is the peace of the local congregation. That everyone would abide in the peace of God. Because in that peace, the Lord Jesus has the ability to walk in and begin to minister, put things into place, correct things that need to be corrected, encourage things, rebuke things, in order that the body of Christ, his body, is healthy. The role of a secondary shepherd, which is men, pastors, is peace. But many times I find that with pastors, that because we understand peace, we often are looking for the wrong peace, appeasing, and a peace that comes from appeasement, trying to make everybody happy versus being set apart unto the great shepherd, who is the shepherd of our souls, who is the one who can make the congregation lay down in green pastures and be led beside and drink beside the still waters. No, as ministers, that role of the peace of the shepherd flows from Jesus, and we must be carriers of that. So I want you to think about it. Meditate peace. It's powerful. And I'm going to do, in our second part of this, we're going to talk about prayer and peace. Because there's different ways that we can begin to develop peace in our lives. Obviously, we can be meditating the Word of God. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. When you're abiding in peace, there is no offense that can come in. And fences are always out there. They're always around us. But when you prioritize the Word of God, It builds the peace of God in us, and we choose that word, and nothing can offend us. Why? Great peace. Great peace. Not little peace, but great peace. Why? Because he's our peace. And he says, my peace I'm giving you. And so we need to be meditating, developing this peace of God in our lives. Like I said, study this. Get it in you. But stay tuned, because we're going to talk about praying peace and the peace over nations. You don't want to miss that one. So that's enough for today. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. And we need to be telling people about him. You know, the gospel is the great message of peace. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we take that power of God to a lost and dying world. Listen, keep us in prayer. And until next time, we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.